ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And today, they're talking about Christine's fantasy interviews, and Julie has two movie reviews of Thor and Chips, and they're talking about how no good deed goes unpunished, and it's Christine turning me into Anthony Bourdain, and I'm starring Norman, and I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living, just doing the best I can.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie Marie.
Hello, Christine Marie. Christine Marie, yes, with the same middle names. Because we're mother and daughter.
And we are mother and daughter, and I'm the birthday girl.
Yes.
Even though my birthday was Wednesday, I still consider it the birthday week.
Well, and in some
and, you
ways...
You know, and some of the housewives,
yes.
they have a birthday month.
Which I find ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Because what happens is when you have some money to spend and you're not working 80 hours a week, I'm just guessing that your daily life is more like my birthday day. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you get to go out and do fancy restaurants mm-hmm. and do other things, which I may hold off for myself because I got other things going on. Mm-hmm. Once in a great while, you're doing that monthly. So
yes, yes.
I'm curious.
The ladies who lunch.
Right. I'm curious what their birthday month feels like. Mm-hmm. Unless that's the day, like I know that some women have their birthdays be the time when they have like their physicals, their exams.
Oh, yeah.
Or a little bit of a freshening of the face, uh-huh, you know? Uh-huh. A little bit of Botox so they get their hair color. You know, different stuff like that. I don't know.
Right.
What would you, since this is your birthday weekend, what would you want to have happen?
Oh, I'd special? Love Botox.
Would you? Why don't you get it? It's not like it's out of your realm to get it.
I know. I saw this. We bought a new truck this week.
Is it the botulism, by the way? Is that part of it?
I guess because it makes you, it freezes you. Right. But there was a sign in Iowa mm-hmm. that said...
Do you have Crest White Strips on?
I do.
Okay. Never mind. So keep going.
If I sound a little funny...
You do.
It's because...
But that's funny because you have your Breeze White Strips on and your Crest White Strips on.
I just am a stripper.
You're a stripper today.
I have no idea what's going on with me, but my nose has been...
Right.
It's been clogged up.
Right.
So I've got a Breeze White Strip on. And I just thought, I said, you know, I didn't expect you to be on your phone call with your coaching girl.
And then come
for
in
2 hours.
Come in right hot to the show.
Yeah, and so I had my Crest White Strips on.
Right.
So I'm just like on my face, it's just a bunch of strips right now.
Exactly.
That's well, right. And now we're talking about Botox.
Yes. So tell me what you'd like for your birthday.
Well, French toast, stuffed French toast, stuffed with like some kind of cheese, cream cheese filling, and some kind of.
I hate IHOP commercials.
Vanilla syrup Ooh. With vanilla in it.
Yeah.
And so that.
Some of that would be good.
That'd be something like that would be good.
That'd be lovely.
And then some lasagna.
Right.
Or like pizza with extra topping.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about food right now.
Yeah. Food. Real good carby food.
But I wanted to say that we bought a truck this weekend and we were in Iowa. And there was this huge billboard that said medical spa in Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
And I'm like, medical spa?
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
That's kind of cool.
We don't have those in Dixon.
No, a medical spa.
Medical spa. So I'm thinking Botox.
Right.
I'm thinking fillers.
Lasers.
Yeah,
a lot of lasers going on.
A lot of like fat being sucked out in places.
And frozen somehow.
Frozen.
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't know.
I see a doctor on staff, but not necessarily doing the procedures.
Oh, doctor on staff.
Yeah, but not necessarily.
Doing the procedures.
Yes.
Oh, you know, maybe a lot of medical waxing.
Medical waxing. Yeah. I remember.
I don't know if I would want that for my birthday.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, really. I'll come clean with waxing with me. There is, every time I've had waxing professionally done, I have left the building with scabs.
Right.
And I remember getting, and so I usually just do the you know.
And some sores, too.
And some sores, yeah. I remember getting waxed before Greg's wedding. And because you do that all the time for a wedding, right? You want to be perfect for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, I'll get waxed, get my upper chin, my upper lip waxed, you know. Girls do that. Don't want to break anybody's. Wait. Yeah, we do have, sometimes we have a furry lip or whatever. And she took the wax right off and a layer of skin went off with it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is just horrible.
That's because you have virgin skin.
Is that the reason why?
I think so, because like most women have been like doing that since they've been 16.
Waxing? Yes.
Their upper chin, upper lips.
Upper lips, yeah.
Sure.
Waxing. And so,
well, I don't know. Maybe they use a cream or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think one reason why you want, you know, pizza I get, lasagna I get, those are real historical things in our family.
Yeah.
They're celebratory meals.
Yes.
I know why. I think I know why you want the French toast. Is because IHOP has been just bombarding TV with these brioche French toast with cream and strawberries. Yeah. And you're like, well,
oh my gosh,
that looks good. That looks really good.
I'd just like to have a bite or two, please.
Get a bite. Well, and you can get it to go. So you're like, I'll
just
buy one order.
Now you can get it to go.
One order. We'll take it home. We'll all split it. And be like, whoa, this is amazing.
For every $20 you spend, you get $5 off or something.
Oh, my gosh.
I could figure out $25 worth of IHOP.
To get a $5 card.
Yeah.
We have a drive. We'll have to spend $5 in gas to get there.
We have no idea where IHOP is.
They should just give you a $5 gas card.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why don't they do that? That's
they should do that.
Idea. Hey, we might not be in your area, but when you spend $25, we'll give you a $5 gas card.
We'll help you get here.
We'll help you get here. We'll pay for your gas
card. And we'll have it all ready for you. And we'll bring it out to the car for you.
Yeah. Now, I think that would be the way I would market
That's
it.
That's how I'd market it.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're like, well, no, I want to give you another car so you come back.
Yeah, no.
Now, I'm going to come back. You're an
hour away.
If
you do me good and you treat me right, I will come back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come back for
$5. Pay for my gas every time and I'll come back.
That's right.
And I'll enjoy it. You know why I'll enjoy it? Because we've got serious...
I know, till the 27th.
Oh, it's been a nice, enjoyable break, hasn't it?
Well, you turned me on to Sirius 70s.
Yes.
And they play some really cool music.
It's seriously 70s,
Sirius
man.
70s, baby.
Seriously 70s.
And it was kind of interesting because we've been dealing with that whole Judge Roy Moore thing all weekend, actually.
All Franken.
And the Alabama, and so Jill's playing the 70s, and it was Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
And in Birmingham, we have the governor, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm like, yeah, baby, where it's like Alabama,
Alabama
can't tell
rocks.
Us what to do.
Yeah, Alabama rocks.
Because like, and I remember listening to CNN's people going like, you know, why are Alabamans or whatever they called, you know, going to vote for Judge Roy Moore even though he's like this? They go, well, then you don't know Alabama, baby. Nobody tells us what to do.
Right. Contrarians. We'll actually say, screw the rest of the world.
Yeah.
What this might look like. I don't care if Roy Moore is literally wearing a devil's mask with a ball in his mouth, you know, attached. As long as he's saying he's not a pedophile now, we're going to vote for him because he believes in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know?
And he hates homosexuals.
Exactly. As long as he professes those two things.
Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay with
that. We look the other way. And I heard this one little old lady, she goes, you know, if Jesus can't forgive him, then why can't I?
Yeah. I think forgiveness.
I shouldn't have done that accent, should I?
Because
it's kind of...
It was more Southern Illinois accent.
Yeah.
It was a South of I-80 accent.
Yeah, South of I-80.
It wasn't really an Alabama accent.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what that means.
I don't really know either.
But... let's just face it. You are not. You didn't go to school to become, a master in accents. That wasn't your dealio. So I'm going to give you a 9 out of 10
for
the effort.
Thank you.
I mean, for the effort, really.
Yeah, because you know that I'm trying to attempt.
Yes.
Accent.
And we're not. You're not judging.
No.
In your mind, you think they have a Southern twang.
Yes.
And because you're wearing, rice strips.
Yes.
It comes out a little bit differently. Like, they also have lisps. So everybody from Alabama talks with this twang.
With a little bit of lisp.
But their teeth are pretty really white.
But you gotta give me some kudos for coming to a radio show. with my white strips on.
I'm thinking you just completely forgot about it until I'm looking at you and I'm going.
Remember that time I had my professional pictures done?
We had professional pictures done.
This is a while ago.
I come out of it and yeah. I'm looking at you. I go, did you have your Crest white strips on the entire time?
I went, oops.
Oh yeah, I did.
Oh shoot.
Oh, I've been up like 2 hours straight. That can't be good. I go, the entire time you're taking pictures.
And so now I have all my professional pictures have the white strips on.
Totally, because they naturally Adobe them anyway.
Or I hope so.
Photoshop
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell. Like, actually, they all your pictures have a little bit, you know, like a sunspot where there's like a little sparkle. Like a little sparkle coming out. Like, oh, wow. Her teeth are so bright. I'm getting a glare. Holy cow. Woohoo. You would think that they are on you 24/7 when truly I've caught you doing stuff out in public. I'm like, yeah, Crest, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other day I went to you know, the gym, and I had my Crest white strips on and my Breathe Right strip.
Yeah.
And I'm just like talking to people, and they're acting like there's nothing wrong with that girl.
she's normal. No, they're acting. Yeah, they're like,
and
their mother going, there's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with her. She just doesn't realize that she's left her Crest strips on and her nasal strips on. But I'll tell you what, though,
nobody can out sing me.
No, nobody. You sing in the gym, but there was a guy there yesterday who had an ankle bracelet on.
I know.
Did you see him?
Yes.
Did you really?
I did.
Can you
wait? Was it kind of like more like an ankle sock, or was it really just a bracelet?
He was like off. He was on parole or something.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
With the big box in the side of your leg.
Yeah. That's what that was, though.
What did you think it was?
Wait, was he barefoot?
He was wearing black socks.
Yeah. Oh,
and he was barefoot. He was built like a bulldog.
Now I'm really impressed.
And he was walking around the track.
Holy crap.
Small track. And when I mean small, it takes 22 or 27 laps
to make a mile. Yeah.
And he kept walking
in front of me.
35-pound weights.
Yeah.
And he's just doing lunges around the track.
Oh, my God.
Over and over again.
Oh, my God.
And yes.
That was an ankle brace.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God,
was.
I was kind of flirting with him too. Shoot. You know
with
what?
Your Crest right
he didn't have any tats though.
No, he didn't.
And he had that cue ball head.
Yes.
Oh my God. He had some arms on him.
Oh, he was a huge man.
Oh my God.
I was wanting to know what it was about. And I was curious, but I didn't
know. If I would have known, I just thought that was. Oh,
what would you have done differently?
I don't know, but I just kept thinking it was a weight of some sort.
Oh, I see.
I guess technically
it is a weight.
That is
it's
a
moral weight. I can't leave. But he was able to go to the gym, so maybe he can only do certain things.
Yeah.
You know, they track him.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Thank you for telling me that.
And, you know, he goes to judge.
Because I never saw him before there.
I don't know either, but it's a good time. When we went, it was a really quiet time.
Yeah, it was very quiet. Yeah.
And he was there doing his lunch hour or whatever and doing his mile with lunges and weights. And I'm thinking, you know what? That might be a total body workout, just doing that.
Just doing that. Well, a lot of people go by me doing that thing.
Yes.
Particular thing. And, you know, I guess in reality, his legs were a little less built than his arms and stuff were.
Possibly, but that's what I think a lot of guys do, excuse me, is that they want to have these great arms.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't focus on the legs as well.
Right.
Or they could be like Doug and have part of his, you know, calf muscle be torn off by a tractor when he was a young kid. Mm-hmm. So literally it cannot develop.
Oh.
Or a shark bite.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, no.
I can't. And I got little hands and little legs.
I know. That's so funny. I think of that all the time.
He has Trump hands.
He does. But they're, you know, they work well enough, right? What's that song? These are my hands.
These are my hands, Lord. Thank you for these little hands, Lord. They work well enough, Lord.
They work well enough, Lord. Thank you so much. They'll do the job.
I loved it it wasn't yesterday. It was about maybe 3 days ago. We were watching Trump, and he was drinking the water, and they were comparing him when he was making fun of Marco Rubio drinking water, and then he had to drink water, and it was like, uh-huh, you got your comeuppance.
Right.
And you said to me, Mama, I'm kind of falling out of hate with Donald Trump.
I'm falling out of hate with Donald Trump.
I'm kind of falling out of hate with him, Mama.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, sweetie, I think what you're doing is you're falling out of hate with the double. Because I have a theory that the one that came back from Asia is not the real one.
Oh, you didn't say devil. You said double.
I said double with my Crestline strips. It's double. It's double.
Mother, how dare you? The double. Yeah, so let me interpret what my mother is saying right now.
Should I take my strips off?
Well, has it been a half an hour?
Possibly.
Do what you want to do.
I'm leaving them on.
There you go. All right. So anyway, you really feel that as he came back from the Asia,
right?
He might have been left in Russia.
Mm-hmm. I think he's there. Right. I think he's become an oligarch.
Yes.
He's already there. He's got his own big buildings.
Yes.
You know, and what came back was a, you know, clone.
Just a look-alike.
And also a more subdued on some, maybe on Valium, maybe right. on some other.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Xanax or something. Right. Kind of a medicated dude.
Right, right. Yeah. Maybe so, mother, maybe so. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, you know, I have this fantasy life, you know, it's a pretty mm-hmm. big one. But the reality is, you know, we live in a rural area, and we live in a rural subdivision, and rural is really true. Right. And we're kind of on a dead end street, and we're like, you really can't see any neighbors around us. Mm-hmm. But because of GPS or whatever, we've actually had semis come in front of our house looking for
right
stuff that they have no business looking for here.
No.
But they end up in front of our house.
Right.
That's the reality. So in my fantasy life, I have this fantasy that cars break down in mm-hmm. front of my house, which right. has happened.
Yes.
In reality.
Right.
And I get until like the you know, the person comes in and says, my car broke down, I'm waiting for this or that. You know, do you mind if, you know, I wait here? And we go, no. But so what is sort of jumped to now is like, I for example, I have a list now of mm-hmm. people that I want to break down in front of my house.
Okay.
Top of the list, Blake Shelton.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, he's that tall drink of water. And he right. comes out and he goes, Christine. I go, Christine. I don't know how he says it, but it's so cute. And he's like,
is he wearing Crest white strips as well?
He's got his tat hanging okay. out. Okay. I love that.
Right.
And he said, my car broke down.
Okay.
And I need to have a tow. I don't know how he says two syllables for one syllable words.
Okay, got it.
Like, what bread? I want some what bread.
Okay.
Yeah, so
so he's also 90 years old.
So I invite him in.
Okay.
And so we're sitting in our sofa.
Right.
And you're actually with me. And you're like getting water or getting coffee.
Right.
Making some homemade cookies.
Right.
And I'm just talking to him. Right. I actually have a chance to interview him. I have right. an hour with Blake Shelton.
Hey. And he's open to being interviewed.
Of course. And no, it's, oh, first of all, it's off the record. Oh,
okay.
I totally say, I never get a chance to talk to somebody like you. Whatever we say, I'm a therapist, first of all, and I'm also a coach.
So we're confidentiality,
right? So it's confidentiality. Yeah. This is like okay. a doctor, lawyer, whatever.
Right.
You can tell me anything. But I engage in this. My theory is, you know, it's sort of like after Mindhunter, the series, I am trying to get inside the minds of these people.
Right.
So Blake Shelton is number one. Number two would be Donald Trump.
Right.
I have not very much hope for that one, but I'm still going to try.
Right.
Number three, and this is a new one I've added to my list, Steve okay. Bannon.
Oh, well, a very wide variety of lists. Tell me why.
Steve Bannon. And I'm actually, so when he comes to the door, mm-hmm. I go, oh my God, I know you. So I'm actually like being like
very nice,
starry-eyed yeah. and stuff. And he says he broke down and he needs to call his tow, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I welcome him in.
Right.
And I say, sir, I am so enthralled with your psychology.
Right.
The psychology of what you did.
Right.
Because I know that you, sir, were the mastermind and continue to be the mastermind behind this revolution. Would you, given, you know, total confidentiality, it's not going to go any further, could I delve into your mind? Can I play Mindhunter?
Right. Oh, interesting. And he's all
for it.
I
totally compliment him enough that he lets his guard down.
Oh, good for you.
And so
what does he reveal to you? Anything in your fantasy? Does it ever go any farther than that?
In my fantasy, I get to know, like, what's, you know, I only have, like, certain, like, I feel like there's, he understands military authority. Mm-hmm. He understands how that you have to, in the military, you break things down.
Right.
Only to rebuild them bit by bit. So I sort of feel that this, we're in the breaking down, you know, i.e. draining the swamp process.
Right.
You know? And I'm curious as to what the rebuilding process,
right,
he would like it to, right, look like, you know. And then I did hear a couple weeks ago that he was, in case Trump is not available to run, he's shopping Mark Cuban.
Well, I would like
Mark
Cuban.
I mean, I find him more interesting than Donald Trump.
I think he's
That's not such
a hothead. I don't know if he'd be tweeting as much, maybe tweeting more. I don't know.
No, I don't know about that. But like, for example, I would ask Steve Bannon, like, have you ever seen, like, the, you know, like the loyalty, mm-hmm, Trump's base? They say it's not huge, like it's in the 30 percentile, but
Trump's base?
Trump's base.
Oh, okay.
His base. Trump's base.
Okay. Got it.
But that you'll never see a more loyal, solid,
oh, they love him,
incapable of changing no matter,
right,
what.
Right.
You know, oh, he did this. No problem. Oh, right, he did that. Well, Bill Clinton did that. You know,
yeah.
It's just like it's unchangeable.
Right.
So I'm curious as to, I want to ask Steve Bannon how he developed, right, that kind of base that not only would a hugely rich, wealthy white guy reality,
right,
star, how does he represent or reflect these guys, mm-hmm, that are, you know, who his base is,
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, I want to play Mindhunter,
right,
I want to play Mindhunter. So I've got three that I would, you know, it'd be Trump, it'd be Steve Bannon and Blake Shelton that I would want to get inside. And I have
very
had
interesting.
I have one more.
Okay.
Adam Kinzinger.
Oh, you're Republican.
Yes.
Representative.
Yes.
Is he a senator? No, he's a representative.
He's a rep.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's from our county.
Yes.
But he's always on TV on CNN.
And he's a veteran.
He's a vet. And he is, I believe he's like the new Republican.
Right.
Like if I had to pick something, mm-hmm, I kind of feel I'd be this kind of new Republican.
Right.
That has no way, shape, or form compared to any of the old guys. It's this new guy, that's this new breed that's coming up. They're youngish. They're in,
right,
their 30s. They've served. And they understand what it's like to work side by side next to someone who may not be the same color, the same religion, the same culture,
right,
as you, but you work together to have one goal.
Right.
And that's, you know, to whatever, win or whatever. And these guys are a different breed. I've seen them.
Right.
Some of them are, you know, have been wounded. Well, we have that, is it Tammy Duckworth?
Yes.
Or?
And she, I think she doesn't have her legs, I think, right?
But she a senator or a rep?
She's a senator. I think.
Yeah.
He's a senator.
And so these are people that have been honed in the fire that, you know.
We need more veterans,
yes,
Democrat or Republican,
I think so too,
in our Congress ASAP.
I agree.
Because they know how to work together, first of
That's
all.
That's what I'm trying to
and
say.
And it won't be so darn confrontational,
right,
all the time.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where it's really effing annoying.
Right.
I'm going to use that word a lot today because I'm hearing.
Effing.
Annoying. Annoying is the word. I am tired of people being so tribal in their beliefs around this subject. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't think there's one person out there that can check all the boxes for Republican or check all the boxes for Democrat on the far extremes. I mean, and almost the far extremes of both parties look identical.
They look alike. See, that's one thing I'm going to ask Steve Bannon. How did he know?
Right.
How did he know
that, to do this.
That we were going to become so tribal?
Right.
How did he predict years ago that how could he see that, that we become so tribal and that in our tribalness, not only would we just go, oh, I want to be on this side,
right.
not because you're different from me, but because you disgust me,
right.
because I hate you, because I want to obliterate you. We didn't count on that.
No. He counted on that people have that capacity.
Yes.
I know people have that capacity.
Yes.
And I also know that the capacity is in me. And when I find that language in me and I use it, I go, that's when I said, I know I'm giving up the hate for Trump right now.
Right.
Because I don't want to be disgusted by anybody.
Right.
Especially at this level, because, I mean, if there's such a bigger picture about everybody's life,
yeah.
that no matter what, I can say, well, you know what? Given the situations, would I have been driven to do the same thing?
Right.
I hope not.
Right.
You know, in my life, I know that one of the lines that I always, which I don't want to live by, but I know it's in me, is that the best thing you can do is to die for your friends. It's
right.
in the Bible. What's
right.
the quote in the Bible?
Right.
Jesus says the noblest of things or whatever right. is to right. give your life right. for your friends.
Right.
And he gave his life for his friends. So I always feel that if push comes to shove,
right.
I would always give my life.
Right.
But you know, but why would I don't want to do that. I don't want
I
that
know.
To be an option.
I don't want you to do it either.
You know, and so I think other people, their beliefs are, it's a dog-eat-dog world out
right.
there.
What's your bottom-line belief?
Yeah, I want to eat my other dog.
Right.
But I've been training myself to have a different belief, which is,
right.
because I think the mega-rich, the billionaires, mm-hmm. the billionaires, when somebody buys a picture for $151
million,
$451 million,
yeah.
I mean, how much are they worth?
Is a picture of Jesus, so.
I know it's Da Vinci. I understand that. I think a church bought it. Do you think it would be funny if we found out like Kenneth Copeland bought that? It's like my parishioners wanted that. I'm like, oh, that's me. I do give you money to help the poor. I didn't know I was buying, giving money. Can we not hire someone to do a replicate of that picture?
Is your bottom line going to be eat the rich?
Yes.
I was just going to I'm figuring that out right now.
Are you figuring that out right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
That's
Did
a real.
Did I blow that line for you?
No, I want you to because okay. that's a real line somewhere.
And yeah.
Where was that line coming from? Was it coming from, but there is that line somewhere in literature or something.
Yeah.
And now it feels because we're not, you know, the poor and the middle class aren't making more money.
No.
But this higher end is making grotesque money.
Even my brother.
Yes.
My brother,
who would not survive the sexual. I think
no,
he has a way of being a little bit now, too he openly. Would, with
he wouldn't. He wouldn't survive the transparency that is
no.
available right now.
No, exactly.
But he makes like something like $35,000 a day in interest.
Yes,
and he's retired.
Yes, and he yes.
Eat the rich.
Yeah, exactly. When push comes to shove, there's more of us than them. When push comes to shove, that's how it's going to
really
be.
That's really true.
And typically, we have the guns.
We have the guns.
You know, or at least alcohol for Molotov cocktails.
But here's the thing, though. What you're saying, though, you are identifying the discouragement, the feeling of just being left behind,
right?
That a lot of that base feels,
right,
and never felt represented by anywhere,
right. No,
anywhere,
right?
And I think now we're just not afraid to not afraid at all to talk about it, to say, hey, wait a minute, you're right. I was like, who was thinking about me when I made more money per mile in the 70s than I do now,
right?
And gas is not the same. Bills
no.
not the same.
Bills are not the same. We have more technology to pay for. So, I mean, it is really ridiculous what's going on in the mm-hmm. world. And someone like us, we can't solve that problem, but we take care of ourselves.
Right.
We've been on this rabbit hole of Gaia.com. If you don't know Gaia.com, it's how would you explain Gaia.com?
It's like the Twilight Zone.
It's like spiritual conspiracy theorists.
It's the Church of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Church of the Twilight Zone sounds good. Yeah. And you've been on this rabbit hole of the New Age and this 29-year cycle or 25-year cycle.
25,000.
25,000-year cycle that ends always in this big solar flare.
Right.
And basically death. But or ascension or living underground.
Transformation
and talking about all the religious cultures and how they all have this same very similar Genesis story.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only is it a Genesis story, but it's an eschatological story, meaning, you know, a story of end times.
Right, end times. But what you said to me today, which I thought was really profound, because it's all about ascension and getting yourself ready for ascension or you know, the mm-hmm. new man or whatever mm-hmm. you want us to call it. And you said, your life has everything it needs in it right now to have a better ascension or mm-hmm. heaven or whatever you want mm-hmm. to call it. Mm-hmm. And when I got that, I felt this wave of relief.
Right.
And sweetness. And my stress was off.
Right.
Because sometimes it can get so crazy.
Right.
That we can't even figure this out.
Like our only goal is to get out of here.
Right.
When really this particular
life. And you mean get out of here, like get out of this world.
No, get out of where we're at.
Like, and go where?
Beverly Hills.
Okay. There you go.
Not to Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was very
interesting. I mean, most people just really, it's about getting out of
their situation.
Their situation from where they're at.
Right.
Digging their claws out of there. You know, people say, you don't know how hard I work to get to, you know, this place to where I'm at. And, you know, I'm just saying that what we have around us, each and every one of us, while it's all different, is the perfect vehicle for us to to heal.
And it's all about healing and becoming a better us, right? That's, I think it's what we would all agree upon.
Right.
I don't want to hate more. I want to love more. I want to I want to talk about three more things. I want to do a couple movie reviews real quick.
Whoa.
All right. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can I do them right now?
Are you talking about the one that I had on this morning at 4 o'clock?
No, you can talk about that one.
No, I can't because I don't get it.
Do you even know the title of it?
Map of the Stars.
Oh.
And it was a mother and father who were brother and sister, fell in love. They didn't know they were brother and sister, and had a boy and a girl who fell in love, and, you know, brother and sister, mimicking, but everybody was killers.
Oh.
Everybody was murderers.
Oh.
In Hollywood.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know who thought that.
It was a director's jerk off.
Yes.
For sure.
Definitely. All I remember walking in and I saw a body being burnt to a crisp and then thrown into the pool.
Yeah. The mama was on fire.
And she did not look good.
She couldn't did it come herself. Back from that. No, you can't come back from that one.
It's like, that's uncomebackable.
And the husband goes, I guess I'll throw in the pool.
Now, the weird part is that who was the star in it?
John Cusack, yes. And Julianne Moore. Julianne Moore.
These are not no names.
No,
these are you know, the description of the story would have lent itself to be, you know, an indie film that you might put together to maybe pass your course in filmmaking.
Yes. Yeah, and jack yourself up in the meantime. Yes. Although Louis C.K. has virtually taken away. That motion.
Thank you, Louis C.K.
Of everything that
Thank
you've
you
done.
So much.
Yeah.
The one thing that I've had to reevaluate Louis C.K.
so much,
relationship with,
yes.
You know, because I used to do that director jerk off sign.
Yeah.
And then the other day, and I can't because now I feel icky doing it.
Well, yeah, because we used to do it all the time, but then Louis C.K. said, if you're going to do it, you better finish it.
And I thought that's so funny. So I used to pretend to finish it. Like, that was so funny.
Yeah.
And now I realize it's just gross.
Well, because.
Because of Louis C.K.
Because of Daddy.
Well, that. Because of Louis C.K. And then my father says, you know.
You were doing the jerk off in front of him, and you were finishing it off.
Yes.
And then he said.
I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable about this.
Yeah. He was feeling sexually assaulted.
And I said, okay, I got to stop. I apologize. Yeah,
and you apologized.
Yeah. And then I caught him doing it the other day to you.
No. He did it behind my back?
No. Not,
in front of me?
Right next to you. Yeah.
Oh.
You guys are talking about something. Goes, that's such a, he mimicked it.
Uh-oh.
And then I said.
I missed that.
And I go, Father, you yelled at me for doing it. And he goes, I didn't. I balked. He's a balker. I didn't complete the stroke. I'm like, all right, I'm just telling you, you can't be mad at me.
Yeah, that's hypocritical.
Yeah, I'm tired of the hypocrisy.
Of the hypocrisy everywhere.
I'm tired of the hypocrisy everywhere.
Help me, Jesus. There's too much hypocrisy in the world.
Yeah, I think we got to have a, there's got to be, what do they call it when you can't go out back for a crime anymore? It's a date.
Yeah.
What do you call that date?
Yeah. That,
you know. What do you call that date?
Yeah,
you know,
that, the
has expired. The,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I think there's got to be a level of expiration on hypocrisy, because I'm telling you right now, we all can get better. And so if I'm a better person now, I can't be called a hypocrite.
Because you're better now.
Because I'm better now than I was, you know, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I thought this way. I've gotten better. And now I think this way. Yeah. I'm not a hypocrite. All right? I'm just a more evolved person. Give me an effing break. President Clinton would not have been president if he ran now.
Right. I heard a person say that if President Clinton had paid the real price, like going to jail for all the women, that we wouldn't have this problem today, because he set a precedent by not paying a price. Of course, he was impeached and, you know, all that stuff, but don't worry about that, people.
Yeah, not those little
don't
problems.
Look at those things.
No.
But that the reason, you know, there's a Roy Moore and all these other people and Al Franken.
They can't blame Roy Moore on him.
It's because of Bill. Yeah, because that predates Bill Clinton.
Yeah. I mean, really, Roy Moore probably is the reason for Clinton. I'm so tired of everybody bringing up Clinton right now.
I know.
I can't even take it.
You can't even call Fox News. You guys got to call it the Clinton Channel.
The Clinton Channel. The Clinton Hater.
Just the Clinton Channel.
Clinton Channel. Clinton.
It's Clinton 24/7.
I'm like, I thought we didn't vote her in.
I thought that was over, but we got to listen to it 24/7.
I go, we know the score, guys. You know, calm down.
Yeah.
I go, you know, different times. We all thought it was crazy, but then somebody on Bill Maher the other night said, "We fit the feminists of the time felt President Clinton would advance their agenda more than the Republican at that time."
Wow, I couldn't believe
that.
Now,
I think that's the truth, because Christians,
100%,
evangelicals believe that Donald Trump, who I would not in any way call behaving like a Christian most of the time, but they believe he can
advance
their agenda.
Exactly.
And that's the problem, you know, that the Democrats have. It's about advancing agendas.
It's those agenda advancers.
Exactly. So going back to another movie I saw, I don't think I reviewed it last week. Thor, the new Thor movie.
Right, right.
Loved it. Give it 5 stars, give it 4 stars. It was just an awesome, fun movie.
Oh my gosh.
Lots of jokes, lots of laughter. I think it was PG-13. Highly recommend it.
Who played Thor?
Hemsworth.
Ooh.
Or Helmsley or
Is
whatever.
It Miley's?
No, it was the other one.
The brother?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
They're both. You know what? Hmm. Can I amend my
sure.
I'm gonna have the brothers stop by when their car breaks down in
front
of the
house. There you go.
Although the one that's not, I don't know. Actually, the one that's married's kind of hunky too.
No, Thor?
Is that
He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
He's not kind of. I think he's the most.
But he also doesn't take himself too seriously,
not one
which
bit.
I love.
Yes.
He
knows
I love
he's a
good
big piece of meat
guy.
Candy. He knows that that's who he is.
Yeah.
And he just runs with it.
Yeah.
And he this is just filled with laughter and visual And I've been wanting you to go see it with me.
Yeah.
At a downtown theater that has reclined chairs.
Yeah, baby.
And Dolby sound. I thought it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. And then you could drink there too, right?
Yeah, no, not there. Not oh, AMC. Oh. You don't drink anyway. What is that a big deal?
Because I can't drink it all. I want the ability.
Yeah.
I want the ability to be able to, if I want to have a cocktail while I'm watching Thor in my recliner.
You get to have one.
I get to
they
have
may,
one.
We'll sneak one in. They don't have a sign. Does not say, says no food and outside drink. Doesn't say booze.
Ah.
And I think, and also it says no handguns. Doesn't say booze. We can just
all right.
bring some
booze. So as
booze
long as I don't
in.
Bring my Colt 45 in.
Yes.
Which what? Is a actual booze. Booze.
It's a play on words.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting.
And so I want to talk about another movie I saw because we, sure. this weekend I think you have free Cinemax and HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Cinemax had Chips on. The new one with Dax. Whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's married to...
Kristen Bell.
No,
Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell's her name?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. I got panned by the critics.
Did it?
I enjoyed it.
That's kind of how I felt by Baywatch. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And that got panned.
One reason why I enjoyed it so much is that he touched on the difference in... what's going on in the world
uh-huh.
to how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And he just brought it to the plate.
Good.
And,
good.
You know, and...
Pete, that's what I'm thinking comedy needs to do.
Right.
Except, you know, you gotta...
But please don't leave it on the stage.
Yeah.
When you're off the stage, you're off the stage. Clock out. No bad behavior off the stage.
That's what... Oh, what did Dad say when he heard about Louis C.K. about, you know, how, coming on, off the stage and saying, do you mind if I, you know,
yeah.
masturbate in front of you? And Dad goes, you know, it's probably a lot of pressure to perform. And he has to sort of, you know, as within, as without, as above, so below. He's like, Dad. I got to perform. I got some more pressure to perform here.
I just still like the fact, I keep going back to his apology saying that I just figured if I asked, it was okay, but yeah. I guess I was wrong. I'm like, dude, you didn't ask. No one would treat that as a worthy question. No one would say, do you mind if I, you know, am I in front of you?
Especially if
oh,
you're
sure,
Louis C.K.
Okay, go for it. Like, holy mother of God, I did not think that was going to happen.
See, if it was the Pope, you'd believe him.
No, I'd be like, I would, because is such a bizarre question.
Yeah. Or somebody like, you know, Cardinal so-and-so, Julie, would
or
you
even
mind?
Trump.
Yeah.
But a comedian, I would think he was being
exactly.
sarcastic and joking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then I see that's the hierarchy.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you were going to say something about the chips, though.
So I don't even want to tell the whole story, because I think, it was just a grueling.
You should.
Well, one part was... Dax wanted to get a hug from his new partner, Ponch, right? Who's that? It was Ponch and...
I don't know. One of Eric Estrada and
yeah.
the other guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Eric Estrada's Ponch. But anyway, but the new guy's playing it. And he's... Poncherelli is a sex addict. And he wants a hug. He's just... Dax is just wearing his, like, some underwear, basically. Some... Not tidy-wise, but, like, you know, briefs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he goes in for a guy. I don't want to hug you, dude. I don't want to hug you. He goes, oh, you're homophobic. That's okay. I'm not judging. You know, but maybe you should work on it and go to counseling for it. He goes, I'm not a homophobe if I don't want to hug a complete stranger who's in their underwear. And he goes, but if I was wearing a bikini and I was hot, you'd want to hug me, right? And he goes, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And so.
And that's what's kind of really happening in the world.
Yes.
Like if you say you don't want to hug if you're a guy and you don't necessarily want to hug another guy, oh, you're gay.
Right.
Or you're a homophobe.
Right. And so now I was talking to a woman the other day. We're good friends. And she was talking about going on LinkedIn and using some of her contacts to generate some more business. And she said that she reached out to another man who she has a relationship with, you know, just a very professional but fun relationship. And he responded back to her in such a cold way that she's wondering if all the accusations that are coming out, men are being told that communication.
Well, emails are forever.
Must be sterile.
Right.
And she said it was so weird.
Yeah.
It's like she didn't even know me. And he goes, I wonder if this is the backlash to this now.
There will be.
And I go, there's going to be backlash.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't even think
about
it.
And not that that's bad, but there's going to
be. There'll be an equilibrium.
Yeah.
It to me, it's not just a man's problem. It's all of our problem. Mm-hmm. And it won't hurt. It won't help us. It'll help the younger generation.
And they won't even appreciate
they
it.
They won't even appreciate it.
They won't even appreciate it.
And then the other one was, I don't want to talk about this on the radio, but they're talking about, Dax was talking about how he hasn't had sex with his wife in a long time and he was going to date somebody else. And he goes, well, you know, it's all about the butt now, right? You know? And Dax like, no, didn't know that was about to happen. Because yeah, and if he goes, is that like everybody just likes that? It's just that's how it's done now. It's just that. He's like, well, it's not unsanitary. So he brought up some interesting points that is going on where you're just going
in the world. Yeah,
like I don't get it. Yeah. The world's crazy. Yeah, the world is crazy.
Yeah, and everything's up for grabs.
Everything is up for grabs, and so. That was very interesting. And then, yeah. then my 87-year-old aunt called for your birthday and you were unavailable, so I talked to her. Mm-hmm. And she's out in California and she lives in a very conservative area in California. And by the way, we live better than people in California, by the way. They were showing on, I watched a blurb on millionaire real estate or yeah. What do you call that?
Yeah, yeah. Millionaire real estate wars or no, millionaire the guys on
yeah
Bravo
yeah and it's a woman she's a woman realtor which yeah. I like and her friend had $3 to $4 million to spend in Brentwood wanted to live in Brentwood
that's kind of cheap
exactly yeah. And the only thing she could afford was literally a 1700 square foot house that needed a total redo
whoa
and I'm thinking oh, we're so lucky. We're so lucky. It takes $3 to $4 million to live that way in there. You know what? I like my seasons.
Yeah.
You know? I like different people.
Yeah.
I like the fact that I can go to Walmart in my pajamas.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm okay with that. Thank you, Lord, for having a big world, right?
I said, did you see anybody at Walmart that you knew? And you went, yes. All the people that I was in line with at Aldi's first.
Yes, exactly.
And that's exactly what
every
you do.
Every single week that happens.
You go to Aldi first to get your stuff.
Yep.
And then whatever you couldn't get.
I go to Walmart.
You go to Walmart.
I know that's with everybody, but that's with me. You know, that's
and
what
that's
I do.
That's what we do here in Middle
that's
America.
That's how we fly.
That's how we roll in Middle America.
Exactly. And so I was talking to my aunt and I said, finally. And she was talking to me that she, you know, she lives in a. You know, a senior citizen's mobile park and
55 and older.
And she loves it. But she's getting older and she doesn't want to own anything anymore. She mm-hmm. wants to be able to call her landlord up and mm-hmm. say, fix this mm-hmm. instead of her being responsible mm-hmm. for things.
And I understand that.
And she says, you can't even get a one bedroom for under $1,200 a month. That's just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Because I'm all just stay here, you
right,
know?
Right.
And I get that because her mobile home is paid for.
Right.
Just the lot rent and all that stuff.
Or the rot rent.
Or the rot rent, whatever that means. And so I said, I have a moral dilemma for you. And she goes, what is it? And she goes, so at this one truck stop, I know there's a woman there.
Right across the street from the Walmart.
Yeah, that has been sleeping in her car for months mm-hmm. on the weekends.
Long
every day,
time. Long time.
And I want to know if I should help her or like try and talk
and
up
she
a
has
conversation.
A child.
Sometimes.
And a doggy.
Dog sometimes. I haven't seen that lately. So mm-hmm. maybe they're living someplace else. Mm-hmm. I don't know the whole story.
No, we don't.
And I go, but here's my problem with it all. I don't want her to feel uncomfortable like she's, you know, people are noticing her now, which, come on, how could we not be noticing her, you know? And then I want her to move someplace that's not as safe because I want mm-hmm. her to stay there.
Well, because her spot where we always park, we have a spot that we park in, and her spot is next to ours.
Right.
So she really literally is safe
yeah.
as long as she's next to us.
Right, exactly. So I don't want her to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And I talked to you about helping her, but I'm like, I don't even know what I can do. I really don't know what I could do.
Right.
And because I certainly don't want to commit to paying her rent for the next year, you know? Or,
no.
You know.
If she's to the point where she needs to get hooked into services, you would think that she could have gotten that by now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And here's my bigger issue with it all. And Aunt Roseanne goes, you're overthinking this. Just go over there and talk about yourself. And then she said, make her feel welcome. Then take her out, get a drink. You know, get her like some coffee or something. I'm like, okay. But here's my bigger problem. Is that belief that no good deed goes unpunished.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching an Anthony Bourdain you know, places unknown.
Parts unknown.
And he was in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And terrible conditions, right? But and probably even worse now. And he was at a food cart, and that was people were having, you know, they were having small businesses like that just to make it.
Right.
And he decided that he would just say, "I'm going to buy all your food right here, and just give everybody who's in line free food."
Mm-hmm.
And in a heartbeat, this traveled, and it was a long line, and a couple of the 20-something-year-old men that were very strong were running it. And like, kind of like beating people, like stay in line, and like, "You're not going to get it first. It's mine," and you know, and taking over.
Oh my God!
And then you see him walking away, going, "This is getting going. I thought this was going to be a good deed,
yeah.
And it's turned into an effing nightmare."
Wow!
And so there's always, I see that, and I going, you know, there's always a backlash to whatever you do good. Yeah. You never know,
right?
And you know, because I had a brother that was quote unquote homeless for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
For good reasons. He didn't have to be homeless. He mm-hmm. could have, you know, lived here, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he, you know,
He managed it well. And you're assuming, and we're watching this woman.
She's managing it well.
The thing that we were concerned about, because it's been going on since early summer.
Right.
But it's getting colder.
It's getting colder.
And I mean, and so we don't know. We know that we have a homeless shelter here.
Right.
In our town.
But it's not like it's open yet.
It's not open yet. Yeah. No. But I mean, and we have plenty of blankets.
Yes.
You know, and so if there are things that she needs, but we're counting on her to tell us in some sense.
To let people know that, hey, I could use some help.
Yeah.
And then if you did offer, open yourself up to helping her directly, am I taking on undue responsibility that I can't handle at this time?
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right, because I remember in the 70s, we took on a person that needed help. We had a back house.
Right.
And
we
needed
a guest house.
Yes, we did. A guest
house. It was actually a pool guest house.
For the pool boy.
For the pool boy, yes. Above the ground pool, fenced in.
But we decided to help him.
Right.
And I think it probably went south in under 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I don't know how. I don't remember the situation, but it turned so sour.
And then you had to have so police fast. To come to get him out of the house.
Like, yeah.
He needs to leave. This guy is
It was
just,
weird. It was just too weird.
It just was too weird.
Yeah.
And so.
To have little kids around. It was a mistake on my part. And so I'm a little gun shy
now. But
you
had the other part of you going, I should help this person. Right. I should help this person.
And I have a place that could.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I should help them.
Yeah.
And then so you go, if, you know, what's going, you know, I know there's some extreme circumstances what led you to be homeless or needed to be like this mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other ones like, you know, do you have a drug issue? Is there a drug problem here?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or a mental health issue.
A mental health issue. Yeah. Do you have guns? Are you going to be scared?
Right.
Are you going to think I'm attacking you?
Right.
And then we had all
this stuff. Yeah.
And so I don't know.
So what we decided.
Yeah.
We decided.
I have no idea.
Well, we decided that we know her enough that we've established a baseline.
Right.
And if something happens, and we see that baseline, the ticking. Right. Of that baseline going down,
right? Oh,
then
I
we
see.
Can intervene,
right?
But as long as it looks like so far so good,
yes.
We're letting it be,
right?
And,
I agree.
And putting a couple of 20s under her wipers every once in a while.
There you go. I love that. There we go. That works out fine for me.
Well, you know,
I like
you
it.
Mentioned, you mentioned Anthony Bourdain and the food cart. Well, I wanted to share something with you.
Hmm.
Like Norman and I, one of our Sunday rides. We're in Sterling, and there is a big blue van that says La Tacoteria on it for sale. And it's interesting because we just bought a new truck this week.
Yes.
And so rather instead of just like winding down, getting rid of the old truck, and then I thought, oh my God, the La Tacoteria moved right into it.
Yep.
Everything's in place to start making tacos.
Yep.
And also, I'm assuming we could still do the fried dough.
Fried dough. I thought that's not where you're going to go. I thought you were going to talk to me about how you find Anthony Bourdain so attractive.
I did.
And you specifically like all of his tats.
I do.
And somehow you have talked my father into getting another tattoo. And he would never have a tattoo, but you have literally have made him get one arm fully tat. And this was a huge tattoo. Before it was just the word Chrissy after you. And then you had like the baby boop.
Betty Boop.
Not Baby Boop. That would be wrong. That'd be inappropriate. Don't like that. With red hair, because you have red hair. And now he's got this huge tat on his forearm. And
it's got plenty of room to fill in, too.
Yes. Yeah, and the only reason why is because you find Anthony Bourdain so attractive in a very weird way.
In a very weird way.
And you're like, if I just gruff up Norm a little bit more, this may work for me.
I may transform Norman into Anthony Bourdain.
I may get my groove back on with him.
Could possibly.
You know?
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been married a long time. We got to kind of shake things up. You know? We got to do that.
So I'm slowly transforming him into Anthony Bourdain.
Yes. Well, you were slowly transforming him into Mitt Romney.
Yeah. That time came and went.
So you're getting more, you know, this
I was cutting his hair. I remember, I can't remember what election it was, but I'd been cutting his hair and he was in the bathroom and he just finally, this was like months later.
Right.
He goes, are you kind of transforming me into Mitt Romney? I'm like, now you see it?
You're like, maybe.
I'm cutting your hair.
So like I say, thank you for listening to our show today.
Yeah.
We love our show so much. We hope you have a good time just listening to us and being part of the family, because we're a mother and daughter here. We just want to...
And this is our life.
We're working this
life
through.
With the girlfriends.
We hope that you're part of the girlfriend team as well. And we hope to talk to you next week. Have a great day. And girlfriend, how was it? Was it great?
Oh, well... Of course it was great.
It was great.